Let's turn our Bibles this morning to two places. We'll be in the book of Titus this morning, and then the book of Ephesians. We'll be in Titus chapter number 3 for our main text, and then along the way, we'll stop in the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. And so we'll look forward to seeing what God has for us with mercy. I preached a message last week on mercy, and I mentioned to you that we'll be starting a series on the subject of mercy. And so this will be week number 2 out of 175. And so we'll look forward to seeing what God has for us on the subject of mercy. And we'll be first in the book of Titus, chapter number 3. And then we'll turn over in just a little while to the book of Ephesians. So if you want to put something there in Ephesians chapter number 2, when that time comes, you can just flip over. But Titus chapter number 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 4, and we'll read down through verse number 7, and this will be our text this morning, and we'll see what the Lord has for us. Verse number 4 of Titus chapter number 3. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, our Savior toward man, appeared. We know who that is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We look at verse number 5 again, not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's important God wants us to know how you're not saved. If you're saved, this is not how it came about. Not by your own works, but according to His mercy, He saved us. This morning I want to, as we look at the subject of mercy once again, I want to preach on this subject, His mercy saved me. His mercy saved me. And if His mercy saved me, His mercy saved you too. And we'll look at that this morning. Father, we come to You grateful for what we've already had in church this morning, from the Sunday school hour now to the main hour, the fellowship, the singing, all that's taken place, Father, has prepared us for the preaching of Your Word. I pray now that we'll allow Your Spirit to speak to our hearts. Once again, if there's one unsaved, I pray that You would save them this morning. May we rejoice and be grateful for Your mercy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think of the subject of mercy, I'm mindful of the fact that there are words we use often in church that if we're not careful, they can lose their weight. They can lose their true meaning because we use them so much. In other words, we don't want to let these significant words just become trite because they're used often. We use the word grace, faith, salvation, and certainly we use the word mercy. We say these words easily. They're not complicated words, and certainly they should feel at home in the house of God. We should feel at home speaking of grace, speaking of faith, speaking of salvation, and speaking of mercy. But these seemingly simple words describe the greatest miracle that has ever taken place in our lives. These words are the foundation of everything. Church membership is important, but it's not the foundation for eternity. Baptism is important. If you've been saved, you need to be scripturally baptized. You say, well, I was baptized before I was saved. Well, you just got wet before you were saved. Baptism is an identification. It's saying, Jesus saved me, God had mercy on me, and I want people to know that I've chosen Christ. And it's identification. But just like the thief on the cross, baptism doesn't save you. It has nothing to do with salvation. Standards aren't the foundation of it all. I believe a Christian should be different from this world, but that's not the foundation. You can have the highest standards in the world, but that won't save you. That won't get you an inch closer to heaven. Service, I think we should be busy for the Lord. I think we're saved to serve. I think one of the reasons He established the church is so that we'd have an avenue of serving Him through it. But that's not the foundation. See, if you're saved this morning, it's because of mercy. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. You certainly didn't qualify for it. Mercy saves you. I give us the dictionary definition of mercy again this week. It's that benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than law or justice will warrant. Aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? Because, friend, our sin is an offense to God. There's a punishment deserved for our sin. A simple definition of mercy is just simply not getting what we deserve. And oh, we have to be reminded of that. It's the mercy of God. And this morning, if you've experienced the mercy of God and your mind can go back to a place and a time where you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, let's never get too full of ourselves where we're not reminded that it's just the mercy of God. We didn't get what we deserve. We're not going to get what we deserve. And the explanation is there's a God who is merciful. Friend, this morning, if you have never experienced that mercy, you don't know what it all means, but there's something troubling in your soul, and you wonder about eternity. You fear death. You know things aren't right with you and your Creator. Let me invite you this morning to experience the same mercy that everybody else has experienced. I have several statements for us this morning. I'll say, number one, salvation was not earned. It was mercifully given. I take us back to our text this morning, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Say, well, there's a lot of people who think they can earn their way to heaven. I hate to say this, they're wrong. Because God said it's not by works of righteousness. But Pastor, they're sincere. I'm sincere. You ever been sincerely wrong before? Sincerity does not mean you're not wrong. And if we have a different viewpoint, or man has a different viewpoint, or religion has a different viewpoint than what God says, God's the judge, and we're going to be judged by His standard. It would do us well to be reminded this morning that salvation is not earned, because not by works of righteousness which we have done. The Bible could not be clearer. See, if you're confused on that this morning, it's not because the Bible's confused you. It's not because God has been ambiguous. It's because man has clouded what God has said. Right. Salvation is not the reward for good behavior. Right. Did you hear that? We need to be reminded of that. Salvation is not the reward for good behavior. If works could save us, somebody would boast about it. I got salvation because of how good I am. You say, I wouldn't do that. You're lying right now. You know, I don't have time to get off track, but somebody would compare. Somebody would say, well, I did more than you, so therefore I have more salvation. Or my salvation is greater than your salvation because I've done more. But see, God removes all boasting by removing all merit. Right. Right. See, don't confuse a merit-based society or system with merit-based salvation. Right. Right. Because God has removed all boasting by removing all merit, because salvation is not turning over a new leaf. Right. Right. Salvation is not cleaning up your life first. Salvation is not becoming religious enough. Pastor, I'll fix myself before coming to God. See, if righteousness could save us, Christ would not have had to die. See, let's just be reminded this morning, if you're saved, you are not saved because you are good. Well, my mom thought I was good. Everybody's mom thinks they're good. Well, I'm better than somebody else. That doesn't mean you're good. You know, in our school, I think failing is 64 and below. If you got a 60 and somebody else got a 58, that's not something you really want to brag about. Well, I'm higher than them. Yeah, but you both got a big fat F on the top of your paper. You both failed. That's us going around saying, well, I'm better than them, but you still fail. Well, I'm not as bad as that person. Well, you still come up short. Because salvation is mercy. It was not earned. You were saved this morning because God was merciful. If I could summarize it at this point like this, mercy is God stepping in when justice says guilty. Justice says guilty. You know, when we're dealing with somebody else's sins, we always scream for justice when it comes to God. Well, I don't think he, I think this, well, aren't you glad God was merciful when it came to you? Because justice said you deserve to go to hell. Justice says you deserve to pay for your sins. Justice says, and God can, is just in the fact that he says a punishment, a penalty has to be paid. So he's merciful and sent his son to pay his sin debt and be that substitution in our place so that, yes, there was a payment. Yes, blood was shed. So we don't have to be the one who pays for that. Mercy steps in when justice says guilty. Statement number two this morning, mercy met us in our worst condition. If it's okay for us to think and use some common sense this morning, can we do that? Some of you, I just lost you right there. Mercy met us in our worst condition. Hold your spot here, but flip over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. Ephesians, chapter number 2, with the thought in mind that mercy met us in our worst condition. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 4, but God. Now, verse number 1 of this chapter says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see that? You were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein, verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. According to God's word, when you're lost, you can be as religious as you want to be, but according to what God says, you're dead in your trespasses and sin, and you're walking after the prince of the power of the air. And if you study that out, that's not Jesus, that's the devil. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look at what the Bible says about us. It says that dead in your sins, you walked according to the course of this world. You followed the devil. Now, we don't like to hear that because we're better than that, right? You followed the devil. Not just that, you fulfilled the desires of the flesh. You were by your own nature the children of wrath. Those first three verses, there's no loophole for being religious. There's no being good enough. It's a statement of fact. But aren't you glad there's more than three verses in chapter number 2, verse number 4, but God, who is lacking in mercy, who is poor in mercy, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Do not miss this. Mercy met us in our worst condition. Notice when mercy showed up. Mercy showed up not after we cleaned up. Mercy showed up not after we were sin-free. Mercy showed up not after we promised to do better, not after we proved ourselves or proved ourselves worthy of salvation. The Bible tells us that even when we were dead in sins, And by the way, dead people don't improve themselves. Dead people don't reach out to God. Dead people don't try harder. Dead people need resurrection. And mercy showed up while we were dead in sin. The Bible tells us we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were in the worst possible shape, the worst possible condition, and that's where mercy came to find us. We were dead in our sin. We were lost without direction. We were broken beyond repair. We were, according to the Scripture, enemies of God. And can I just say this, and you give your salvation testimony, please don't say, please don't say it this way, well, I met God halfway. No, you didn't. God came all the way. He came to your place of, you were dead in your sins. You weren't capable of getting halfway. You weren't capable of moving towards Him. Dead people don't move, and the Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins. That's why He had to quicken us or make us alive, because we had no hope. God came all the way to you. That's mercy. What kind of God will we have if He just sat on His throne and said, if you can get to me, I'll save you? Well, heaven would be absent. Of any human, because none of us are good enough to get to God. He met us in our worst condition. And before I move to statement number three, let me just say, if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm here because I want to make a change. I'm here because I need something in my life. I'm here because, use that word salvation, I need to trust Christ. I need Him to do something in me. But you don't. I feel like I need to clean up. I feel like I need to come to church for a little while. I feel like I need to do all of these things. Friend, listen to what the Bible just says. You can't do anything to get yourself more ready for salvation. Mercy will come right to where you are. There are people in the room this morning that even got saved last week. And what happened? Mercy came to their seat. Mercy came to them where they were sitting. Mercy overlooked the problems they had, real problems. But mercy said, I'll come to where you are. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to do the good deeds. You don't have to do the good works to be saved. Statement number three. Mercy chose the cross instead of condemnation. God would be just if He condemned us. And by the way, let me just say, for doctrinal clarification, God does not condemn us. We condemn ourselves because we're sinners. But if God just passed judgment and condemned us, and God said, I'm just going to condemn man. There's no hope for them. They're sinners. They deserve this. Do you realize that there'd be no argument? I can't imagine the angel Gabriel coming to Him and saying, now God, do you have it? No. The angels know. What we know, if we're honest, we're sinners. We're guilty. God's law wouldn't have objected. No court would overturn that. But instead of condemnation, God chose mercy. Friend, let me say, mercy did not ignore your sin. Boy, there is teaching out there that you can bypass the fact that you're a sinner for salvation. You cannot. You can bypass that every sinner deserves hell, and that is their destination unless they accept Christ as their Savior. You cannot bypass that and be saved according to the Scripture. Well, there's many ways to heaven. That's not in the Bible. And if you want to find another way to heaven, you'll find broad is that path, and it will take you to the very place that you're trying to avoid. God did not ignore sin. He cannot ignore sin. Justice has to be served. And sin is an offense to be God in His holiness and His righteousness. It says there must be payment. But aren't you thankful that God chose mercy? He didn't ignore that sin. Mercy paid for sin. See, the cross is where mercy and justice meet. God sent His Son into this world not to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a sinless life on this earth, go to the cross, and that's where justice was met. That's where the sins of all mankind were placed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wrath of God was poured out. That's where all of that took place, but that's also where mercy took place, because the blood that was shed, and that very blood is what covers the sins of man today if they choose to just put their faith and trust in what Christ has done. See, justice demanded payment. Mercy said, I'll pay it myself. Think about this. When Jesus was nailed to that cross and His arms were stretched out on Calvary, that was God saying, I'd rather die for you than lose you. That's grace, but it's not grace alone. There's mercy. Statement number four, mercy is the only reason anyone is saved. I remind us in our text this morning what we read already in the book of Titus, in verse number 5, we're reminded not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. See, at some point we've got to establish where truth is and what do we believe. Do we believe God and His Word, or do we believe religion? See, man gets this all mixed up because they get upset sometimes and they say, well, that's just, I see that and I don't know what it is. But then you take a religion that you can go to a calendar of when it started by a man, and you'll put all your hope and faith in that instead of in the Word of God. God says, but according to His mercy He saved us. I've already said much of this morning, but I just want to remind us one more time. Mercy is what saves us. Getting what we did not deserve. Notice the Word of God this morning. But according to, that word according, and according to is very important. It's talking about a result, or even more than that, it's measured against mercy. Not by worth. So many times we look at ourselves, and we might even look at salvation, and there might be somebody this morning says, I'm not worthy, I'm not worth Jesus dying for me. Might I say, neither am I, nor is there any man who's worthy of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that according to is not measured against my worth, your worth. What's the word there? It's measured against the mercy of God. And God, who is rich in mercy, He's never run out of mercy. He's never going to run out of mercy. So if you're here this morning and you say, I just don't know if I'm worthy of that, let me just tell you, you're not worthy of that. No man who's ever been saved has been worthy of that. But God's not looking at your worth. It's all about His mercy. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. See, if you're saved, we know that mercy found you. Mercy convicted you. You may be feeling uncomfortable this morning at this message, and you had your faith in something else, or this is new to everything that you've ever heard or been taught. Can I tell you what that is, that uncomfortable feeling inside? It's not offense, it's conviction by the Spirit of God. Everybody who's ever been saved, the Holy Spirit of God had to bring conviction on the heart. Well, if you're feeling this way this morning, do not get mad at this preacher who's just saying what God said. It's the Spirit of God who's tapping on your heart and saying, He's telling you the truth. That's what the Bible says. And deep inside, you know that that man-made religion is not enough. It's never given you satisfaction. Deep inside, you know you can't put your faith. Well, I confess my sins to a priest or somebody like that. So you as a sinner confess your sins to another sinner. You know that doesn't make any sense. You know it's not logical. You know there's got to be more than that. That's the conviction. And those of you that are saved this morning, your mind goes back to how uncomfortable you felt in that church service, how uncomfortable you felt in that Sunday school class, how uncomfortable you felt with that person opening the Word of God and showing you that you're a sinner and you can't get there on your own. Then it's mercy that draws you in and says, won't you receive the gift of mercy? It's mercy that forgave you. It's mercy that regenerated you, that quickened you. Let me say it like this, and I'll move to number five. You are not a trophy of good choices. I think the redeemed needs to be reminded of that. We strut around, and by the way, we are a child of God if you're saved. We don't have to hang our head. Not of our works, of our righteousness, but I belong to Him. I'm His ambassador. I don't think God's people should cower in the shadows. No, we belong to the King. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But the same token, we shouldn't strut in as look what my good choices. Now, there's consequences of choices. But if we walk around, look at all the good choices I've made. No, friend, you're a trophy of mercy. Anything that we are is by the grace and the mercy of God. And some of you would testify this morning, and if you're newly saved, don't look at, well, I can never live up to, I can never be. Friend, let God work in your life. Let the Spirit of God change you and mold you. Let Him teach, the Spirit of God who's in you now will teach you this book, will help you learn the things that you need to know to be more like Christ. But let me just help all of us. When you got saved, you weren't what you are right now. You had to make good choices, but you're not a trophy of good choices. Boy, some Christians today, they were the smartest sinner in the room. You know, salvation is not about intelligence. There's a lot of smart people who think they're smarter than God. They can, just because they can debate a Bible preacher on YouTube, they think they can debate the Lord Jesus Christ one day, the great white throne. It's about mercy. Number five, mercy does not end at salvation. It begins there. Now let me make an important clarification. You got saved because of mercy. That's not the only time you've ever needed mercy. Mercy didn't have a 24-hour expiration date. And by the way, mercy does not save us so we can live however we want. We can rejoice in the mercy of God, and nobody can live good enough to earn salvation. Mercy saves us so we can live differently. See, friend, this morning, don't fall prey to this quote-unquote Christianity that's out there that's really not Bible Christianity. That you take advantage of the mercy God shows you through salvation to see how I can just live however I want to live. See, you honor mercy by realizing how far God's already gone. Make no mistake about it. You're saved this morning. You need the mercy of God for salvation, but we need the mercy of some of you with small kids, you tap into God's mercy just getting to church. We constantly need mercy. But the point I want to make with this is not just the ever-present mercy of God, which we preached on last week, but may we treat mercy as the gift that it is. See, that same mercy that saves us will change us. Do you know how mean some of you would still be if you hadn't gotten saved? You're mean now and you're saved. You know how big problems you'd have if your temper if you hadn't got saved? Say, Pastor, I'm having problems. That's the point. Mercy changes us. And I taught on this last Thursday. I'm going to teach on the rest of it this coming Thursday. When people, there's offenses and there's people, and we're supposed to show grace and give forgiveness, and there's ways to do all of that. But we need to keep this in mind. This is the saved version of us. Some of you, I mean, I've been your pastor now for more than 10 years. I've been in this church since I was 6 years of age. Some of you, I know how mean you were, because several of you taught me in school, so I know. But let me also, if you haven't been saved very long and you lose your temper and you have struggles over here, let me just say, God's mercy wasn't just a one-time thing. Yes, we needed that for salvation, but it will continue to work in your life. And He saved you from your sins, but He also saved you to service, and so you can become more like Him. Mercy will change you. Mercy softens us. Hold on, you know what else mercy does? It humbles us. See, there's a reason why the Bible talks so much about pride. He's not just talking about the pride of the unbeliever who won't humble themselves for salvation. He deals with the pride of the believer who somehow forgets that he had nothing to do with salvation. It's all God. But it's mercy that humbles us. You know, we all have a pride problem. When we first are confronted with our sin condition and the need of a Savior, you know what flares up? That pride. I can save myself. I can do for myself. Oh, we know deep down we can't. But it's by the mercy of God we're humbled. The mercy of God should motivate us. See, when you fully think of mercy for what it is, it's the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, is God's justice saying that we deserve hell for our sins, and mercy stepping in and saying, but I'll offer a payment in the form of my Son, that which we cannot earn, that which we can never repay. Something, when we think of that and we're reminded of that, then we cherish that mercy. We're grateful for that mercy. Grateful people live differently. You look at it in our own nation, and this isn't the message, of course, this morning, but you have those who are grateful for America and those who feel entitled to America, two different mindsets. There's two different mindsets when it comes to those who have been saved. I deserved it, or am I grateful for it? See, if you're truly grateful, you don't need a whole lot of motivation. See, if you're truly grateful, young people, you got a mom or dad or both that keep a roof over your head and work hard. If you're truly grateful for that, you don't need a lot of motivation to say, thank you. You don't need a lot of motivation to be appreciative. You don't need a lot of motivation to say, well, you know, Mother's Day, that's every year. You don't have, because you're grateful. And if you're grateful for what God has done for you in salvation and the work He's done in your life, friend, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we would be without hope. If it wasn't the mercy of God, even after we're salvation, the work that He's done in our life, in our homes, and our family, if we are truly grateful people, you don't need a list of Baptist rules. You don't need to argue about everything that's in the Word of God. You're just like, I'm happy to be saved. I'm happy to be born again. I'm happy to not be on my way to hell. And whatever God asks of me, I'm just grateful for His mercy. I'm just grateful that He loved me enough to make a way for me. Mercy humbles us. It ought to motivate us. God gives the church a pastor to shepherd. There's a lot of responsibilities of that. But if we stay a grateful church for the mercy, we should not need a lot of motivation. We shouldn't be having to constantly be motivated. Man, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Let me give us number six and I'm done. I've kind of already preached this, got ahead of myself, but let me just make the statement. Remembering mercy keeps us humble and faithful. This week, I have another birthday that I turned this week. I turned 52 this week. And there's a lot of, you know, thinking, different conversations I've had recently with different people, different subjects. But you think about the alumni choir we had for our Christian school that I carried Friday night. Class of 1992. I had one of our gracious, loving church members, Miss Samantha, come up to me. Were you really born in 1992? I said, yes. She's like, well, I wasn't even born yet. Or did you really graduate in 1992? She's like, I wasn't even born yet. So we'll be having church discipline in just a moment for that, but so what is the point of all this? I have no idea what the point of all that was. No, but the longer you're removed from something, the easier it is to forget the effect that it had on you. It's easy. I can stand here today and God has blessed me with a good mind and God has enabled me to be around the things of God and it's you know, God has enabled me to say, okay, let's put together this message and let's do these things, but it's easy to forget the tens of thousands of messages I've heard in my life. Young people and young adults, it's easy for you to forget the prayers that a Sunday school teacher invested in you 20 years ago. It's easy to forget all the things that were put into you. That's human nature. And every once in a while, it's good for us to be reminded, hey, I'm able to do this because of that took place in my life. I'm able to serve because of the investment there. The same is true when it comes to the mercy of God. The longer we're saved, the easier it is to forget what we were. Some of you hadn't been saved very long and you're still excited about it. Let me tell you, stay excited about it. You may have some questions. I don't understand everything about it. You just know this, that you were a sinner on your way to hell, and the Lord Jesus Christ loved you enough to pay for your sins, and you came to a place and you heard somebody say, Jesus will save you if you'll just call on Him. And the best you knew how, you surrendered your heart, and you said, I want that salvation. I want that payment. I choose Christ. And there was something that happened. Ephesians chapter number 2 said, you were dead in your trespasses, but you were also quickened and made alive. That happened happened in that instant. In that very instant, you surrendered your will and your heart and you chose Christ. In heaven, your record changed completely. It went from all of your sins to the washed by the blood of Christ to the record of Jesus Christ, which is perfection. The same moment, the Bible teaches us a heavenly construction crew got started on your mansion for you to spend an eternity. You may not understand all of that, and that might have been the first thing you heard, first time you've heard that, and now you're really getting excited about that, but that's what you have with salvation. Stay excited about it. The longer you've been saved, the easier it is to forget the mercy that we had to have. See, the longer we're saved, the easier it is to forget what we were. Our mindset shifts to, well, this is what I think they ought to do. Well, they're not changing like I think they ought to change. It's all about how far others are from God. But mercy reminds us, church, do not miss this. Mercy reminds us we were them. We were lost. We were broken. And let me just interject here in this politically charged world. Some of you need to take your Republican glasses off and put your Christian ones on and realize that people act the way they are because they're lost and they need Christ. And we can demonize a different political party, but we ought to be praying for their salvation. And thus, but by the grace of God, we'd still be lost on our way to hell. And when it comes down to it, the world's not going to be divided by Republicans and Democrats. It's the saved and the lost, the redeemed and the lost. And friend, we need to not forget what we were or what we would be. By the way, there's as many unsaved Republicans as there are unsaved Democrats. It's sitting in my nose, but I just feel like saying it. The Bible doesn't say Republicans exalt a nation. It says righteousness exalts a nation. Now, having said that, do vote like you got some sense. I mean, if your side's losing, vote many times as you can. But that's another. Where were we? Humble and faithful. The point I'm making is it's easy for us to talk about how far others are, but we would be them. We were undone. And you know what? The only thing that saved us was mercy. See, let me help you this morning. A church that forgets mercy becomes harsh. A preacher that forgets mercy becomes harsh. A Christian that forgets mercy becomes harsh. I want to be firm on what the Bible teaches, but if I remember mercy, it should keep me from becoming harsh. Don't become a cynic. Keep that heart warm and tender because you don't forget what you were before Christ found you. And by the way, if He didn't find you, you'd still be what you were. Have a heart. A Christian that forgets mercy becomes proud, obnoxious. A heart that remembers mercy stays tender. Is your heart tender? If the pastor gets up and preaches on something that, as the old saying goes, it just steps on your toes. And maybe it's one of those where he doesn't just step on them once. He does a dance on them. You know what we ought to say? Thank God. The Spirit of God is still speaking to me. Thank God He's merciful enough to correct me. I'm not talking about the pastor. I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. Because sometimes, if we're honest, this has happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you. I can be preaching on the love of God, and the Spirit of God is more than capable of convicting you of something, bringing to mind something I'm not even preaching about. And somebody can come and say, I'm giving all this up. I was like, I didn't mention that one time. Well, that's the Spirit of God. We all remember mercy this morning as we conclude. If you're saved, mercy found you when you weren't even looking. Mercy forgave you when you didn't deserve it. You didn't climb your way to God. God came down to you. And the only proper response to mercy is gratitude. See, this will change even your growth as a Christian, your service for the Lord, from an I have to an I get to. Today, as we conclude the service and go to invitation, I would say some of us probably need to thank God again for saving us. This will help your perspective too, because we're unjust with God. God's not fair. I'm glad God's not fair. Because if He was truly fair by the laws of justice, I'd be on my way to hell. But God is also merciful. And by the way, God's more than fair. Well, I just don't see it that way. Well, you don't know what God knows. You don't, and if you did, we would all be in trouble, because you and God thinking alike wouldn't be good for any of us. But His ways are so far above our ways. God is good. Mercy forgave us when we didn't deserve it. Let's thank Him this morning. Be reminded where He brought you from. Maybe you're here today and you say, oh, that mercy sounds good. I've never experienced that mercy. But this morning, that feeling that you were talking about inside of me, I feel that this morning. I need to get this settled. In just a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to do what so many have done. Somebody open the Bible and show you clearly many of the things that have already been said this morning, how you can put your faith and trust in Christ. He's been merciful to us. Even though we may have received that salvation many, many years ago, He's been merciful to us that He's given us His Word, He's given us His Spirit, He's given us His church. He's given us another opportunity to bow our knees and say, thank You for Your mercy. Maybe this morning your pride has gotten the best of you. Maybe part of you've developed a little spiritual attitude, if I can put it like that. Well, I should be doing more. I should have this. This is, no, when we get back to realizing we are just a sinner saved by the grace of God because of His love and His mercy. Let's show the gratitude that mercy is worthy of. If you've been saved, never been baptized, I encourage you this morning to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. If you're looking for a church to unite with, just so you can serve with Him, well, come this morning. Well, let's ask the Lord to work in our hearts. Father, we come to You once again. Great.